to keeping the push alive, but there is a difference between grudging acceptance and vigorous support. Proponents of reform need to keep the pressure on to ensure that this effort does not get slow-walked or bogged down in the devilish details. Nancy Pelosi, for instance, insisted that reform legislation should apply not only to Congress but also to the judiciary, including the Supreme Court. It has to be government-wide, she said. The judicial branch certainly could use some ethical shoring up. An investigation last year by the Wall Street Journal found that from 2010 to 2018, 131 federal judges unlawfully ruled in cases involving companies in which they or their family members held shares. People involved in close to 800 lawsuits have since been notified that their cases are eligible to be reopened because of these conflicts. There are proposals floating around that would address all three branches of the government. Two Democrats, Senator Kirsten Gillibrand of New York and Representative Katie Porter of California, recently reintroduced a bill that would tighten reporting requirements across the board, as well as bar trading of individual stocks by members of Congress, the President and Vice President, Supreme Court justices, and other top officials with the U.S. Federal Reserve, which suffered its own trading scandals last year. But trying to extend a government-wide ban, while worthy under merits, would introduce needless and potentially counterproductive complexity right now. There are, most specifically, concerns that an attempt by Congress to impose its will on the judiciary would set off a debilitating debate over the separation of powers. That is literally a different conversation, and one that is so hard to wrap your arms around that you've tanked the movement, as Representative Abigail Spanberger, a Virginia Democrat who co-wrote one of the leading reform bills, lamented to the New York Times. Lawmakers' top priority, arguably their first duty, should be to clean up their own branch of government. They are, as elected officials, directly accountable to their voters, and many of the people to whom they owe their jobs and salaries have grave doubts about their ethical guidelines and rules of fair play. In a series of recent New York Times opinion focus groups, voters across the political spectrum described their frustrations and even anger at the political class and the system, seeing elected officials in both political parties as acting in self-interest without rules or consequences. They all just go to their barbecues and cocktail parties and laugh, said one independent voter. They just want the power. They couldn't care less about us. Some Democratic voters expressed interest in term limits, curbs on lobbyist influence on lawmakers, and new rules and money in politics. The push for a trading ban is about more than imposing rules to keep lawmakers on the straight and narrow. It is about changing the widespread perception of public service as a playground for corruption and for self-dealing. It is about restoring the American public's faith in their government. For Congress, there may be no worthier cause.
This is IRIB English Radio.
Thank you.
please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you, because you are...
A Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you. You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Dear listeners, welcome to your own program, A Muslim Lady, where we have been discussing so many various important issues regarding Muslim lady. I hope you have enjoyed all our discussions, and I also hope you will benefit from today's discussions. I am Farman Ali Masumi, and with me in our studios, my wife, Radia Batul Najafi.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Inshallah, we are going to discuss a very important issue again regarding Muslim lady, and that is, in a Muslim society, you know, the expectations a Muslim society has from a Muslim lady. You know, various societies, they have different expectations from their members, their active members. Some qualities are combined, you know, each society needs active members, the participating members in their societies to build their society, to progress their society. And in Islamic society, as Islam is the, you know, flagship holder of all these societies, the Muslim society, definitely it is expectations are also very, very important from a Muslim lady.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah. The first and foremost important expectation a Muslim society has from a Muslim lady is her own character, her own role, you know, her own self-building. Because if a Muslim lady has a very strong self, strong belief and strong, you know, a characteristic, then she can play a very healthy and strong role in the society. So it is very important, self-building. And Islam has also emphasized upon it. And every member of society should have built his or her own self.
Yeah, I remember the saying of Amir al-Mu'mineen, Imam Ali, alayhi salam. He says, the best service is to serve yourself. Serve yourself means if you are a beautiful, a good person, very beneficial person, because you are happy and satisfied by your presence in this society and you know your role and your situation and your state in the society and you know your purpose of life, yeah, that means you are building yourself, you know yourself. So then automatically, because you have that light of beautiful building of yourself, then you can spread out that light in the society.
Yeah.
So I think Islam is so generous and very, very kind.
So we are going to have a short break. Please, listeners, don't go away. Stay tuned. Inshallah, we will come back soon.
The
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
Yeah, Islam is very, very generous and very, very kind because the Muslim society, yeah, based on Islamic rulings, and Islam is not harsh, especially when it comes towards women's duties and the responsibilities and expectation what a Muslim society has from women. Because I remember, again, a beautiful saying of our Prophet. He says, "Inna Allah araf bil inas." Allah is more kind towards girls and towards women, and therefore Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, he says, "Al-mar'atu rayhana." Yeah, like, you know, women, she's like a flower. So look at the Islamic perspective. You know, as a Muslim society, Islam is understanding her feelings and her duties according to her abilities, and that is something amazing. Truly outstanding. Yes, what do you think?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, because he is the planner, he is the creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he has planned according to our abilities.
Exactly.
And he has planned this universe, and he has planned, you know, according to the characters this universe needs, this our worldly life needs. So he has given some, in some areas, he has given some abilities to men, and in some areas, he has given some qualities and abilities to women.
Yeah.
So if each and every one plays his and her role in the society, then that society can become the, you know, very successful society. So we will talk about these abilities and these roles in, inshallah, in details. So we right now we are talking about self-building, as the famous hadith also says, "Man arafa nafsahu arafa rabbah." The very important and basic and root thing in our lives is to know about ourselves. You know, if we know our abilities, our characteristics, our qualities, then definitely we know our Lord. Here, our Lord means the goal, you know?
Yeah, our the expectation main purpose. Which Islam has from us, yeah.
So the first expectation a Muslim society has from a Muslim lady is a strong self and strong characteristic. And after, when we talk about the self characteristic, it has so many things, so many elements. And for example, her hijab should be perfect when especially she comes in the Muslim society. So Muslim society expects from a Muslim lady to have a perfect hijab. And when we talk about hijab, as we have said in our previous episode also, hijab does not mean only covering your body. Although covering is the most important part of hijab.
Exactly, yeah.
Covering your hairs, covering your all your body parts, and especially you should cover your body in a way that your figures are not seen. You know, I remember in one hadith, when in front of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when a lady was riding a, for example, horse or camel or donkey, for example, and because of some problem, she fell down from that donkey. And the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam turned his face away from that scene. Then the companion said to Rasulullah, "Ya Rasulullah, she is in perfect hijab. She is wearing all the garments, especially the shirt and trousers.
Yeah.
Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that, "Lucky are those women who wear complete hijab." Yeah? So it shows that not only covering our bodies, but covering in such a way that our body figures are not...
Especially the shape.
Exposed, the shape of body.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful story. And I remember this amazing, again, the expectation with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam he has from a Muslim lady, you know. Therefore, look at the way he's talking. He's saying, Ala ukhbirukum. You know, would you like that, would I give you this news that what kind of qualities are best in women and what I'm expecting from a Muslim lady? So then the companions, they replied and they said, yes, Ya Rasulallah, we would love to know. Then he started to say, so first he made that amazing preparation and some kind of, you can say, the curiosity, you know, they're curious to know, so what kind of qualities are best for women. So then he says, inna khayra nisa'ikum, you know, the best of the best qualities and expectation which we have from a Muslim lady is number one, Al-Wadud, you know, Wadud means the one who's extremely kind, very soft-hearted, you know, the qualities which Allah has given specially extra in deep, you know, and very profound in ladies compared to men some in some areas. So our Prophet wants to say, you know, the gift which Allah has given you, you have to utilize it. You
have to use it
and express it. So Al-Wadud is so beautiful. Beautiful. And Al-Wadud also shows that the quality which you said, that, you know, self-building, like if I'm kind-hearted, that means I know who am I, you know, I'm not harsh and full of revenge with others, you know, very materialistic. So it has too much meaning, you know, very profound quality. I know many of us, we don't like it as a Muslim lady. That is Al-Walud. Can you tell me about Al-Walud?
Unfortunately, about this quality, nowadays, they are not aware of it, especially in this modern era. Al-Walud means the one who gives more birth.
Yeah.
Gives birth to so many children. Yeah,
exactly.
Al-Walud. I remember there are a lot of more ahadith about this quality. When people asked about, you know, to who we should marry from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, number one, first quality is Al-Walud.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know.
Yeah. We know about her family,
background.
You know, because a lot of things we share with our families, you know. For example, if some lady has so many siblings and big family, so definitely, yeah, they are healthy, they can give birth to more children.
So therefore, you have chosen me because we are 9 brothers and sisters, and you can't believe it. I read this hadith when I was so young, in my early teens, and I would, used to say to my mom that, Mama Jan, you are Walud. You know, you have this quality which Muslim society is expecting from you, especially Rahmatulil Alameen, our Prophet. So Walud is something really important.
Important quality.
Yeah.
And people nowadays think, you know, it needs a lot of, you know, energy to give birth, to raise a child. Look at our parents' ages, you know, they had so many children and even they were stronger. By each birth and each child, they were getting stronger.
Same here with my mother too, mashallah. Even I remember she used to tell me, and she's, mashallah, still there. She tells me that I can give birth more if Allah wants. You know, I can have 10 more children. Yeah. And that is really important. And you know why we are sharing this all expectation? Because Okay, because of certain reason, maybe someone cannot have a baby, yeah? Because of maybe health reason. But we have to know, at least we have to know this value is there. And this is the mindset of Islam. Yeah. Thank you so much. I enjoyed a lot.
Yeah, and me too. Actually, we all are enjoying because of these beautiful ahadith
exactly.
and riwayat of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. We are coming to end of this episode. Thank you so much for joining us. And thank you, dear listeners, for being with us. Until next episode, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I know I'm waiting, waiting for something, something to happen to me. This waiting comes with trials and challenges. Nothing in life is free.
Food for thought.
Salam, friends, and how about reflecting upon what Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, has reportedly told his disciple Jabir ibn Abdullah Ansari concerning the benefits of the fasting month of Ramadan. O Jabir, this is the month of Ramadan wherein those who fast on its days and spend a portion of its nights in worship while taking care that their bellies and private parts eschew that which is unlawful, and their tongues are kept in check, come out of their sins as they pass out of the month.
We are with you. What about you? Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With delight.
Floating solar panels help landowners benefit from underused body of water. Now, a German company is covering 14,000 square meters of a lake with these panels, turning it into the biggest solar park in the country. The park is built by a family-owned company called Quartzwerk, which specializes in extracting and processing industrial minerals. The company says it wants to become independent of fossil energy sources amid rising energy prices. The head of the Floating Panel Corporation says they will be generating around 3 million kilowatts per hour of green electricity on the surfaces of Limmersheim Lake in southern Germany.
The plant can make a super big contribution to the land-neutral energy transition, because here an unused lake that was previously used for gravel extraction is being converted into a power plant for renewable energy.
Installation and maintenance of the panels are easy and safe, while they also offer a significant reduction in evaporation from the water surface. According to the company, this will save around 1,100 tons of carbon dioxide each year.
A restaurant in the Indonesian capital of Jakarta is taking fine dining to new heights, literally and figuratively, by giving diners a one-of-a-kind experience 50 meters above ground. The restaurant is called Lounge in the Sky. Diners are securely strapped into seats fixed to a table and are hoisted into the air using a heavy-duty lift. First, the gourmet meals are prepared in the main kitchen. Then, the food is loaded onto the platform where the dishes are plated and served to the patrons. The suspended guests are able to take advantage of breathtaking views as they gently rotate at great heights.
At first, it was not easy. I was nervous that I wouldn't be able to swallow the food, let alone drink. But after some time, I could eventually eat. It was thrilling.
While enjoying the meals, the guests use seat belts and the accompanying staff are equipped with safety harnesses. The guests are also briefed on safety regulations before the platform is raised. Diners call the one-hour experience exhilarating and worth the high price. The project developers say the restaurant was aimed at reviving local and international tourism sector after a big slump during the COVID-19 pandemic. The culinary experience is a first in Indonesia and the third in the world after Belgium and Malaysia.
South Koreans are getting outside to enjoy the open air with a local cherry blossom festival in central Seoul. This is while the country has been dealing with an ongoing surge of the Omicron variant of COVID-19. With some performances and the beauty of spring, many people look forward to turning the corner on the pandemic. Frank Smith has a story.
Spring has come to South Korea, and the cherry blossoms are blooming. COVID-19 restrictions on gatherings are finally being eased. And at Ansan Park in central Seoul, a small festival is bringing everyone back out.
I first came here with my friends 4 years ago, but we couldn't come for the past 2 years because of COVID. I was impressed to see so many people no longer being overly careful about COVID. And we're also very happy to be able to attend festivals like this one.
South Koreans have been quite diligent in observing social distancing guidelines and wearing masks. The Omicron variant of COVID-19 has been quite severe here, with cases only recently declining below 200,000 per day. Still, the government's decided to open up. From the open-air stage, Noah Ram and his band entertain a crowd that's anxious to finally get outside and enjoy group activities.
Ever since COVID, and particularly for the entirety of 2021, when the pandemic was at its peak, I have been unable to perform. I felt today was a restart. Spring has come, the weather's great, the blossoms beautiful, and I felt all of this was celebrating today's show.
South Korea's vaccination rate is nearly 90%, with children now getting the jab.
At first, I was very scared of COVID as I felt it was life-threatening. But now I feel okay with it because I consider it an experience and a certain reality. Also, I worry less because of the vaccines and the new medications.
The cherry blossoms blooming has been tracked from Jeju Island in the south and up to the capital as warm weather moved north. And with this change in seasons, attitudes toward life with COVID are changing as well. Frank Smith, Seoul.
The first all-private space crew has successfully docked at International Space Station after spending over 20 hours en route. Three paying customers and a former NASA astronaut will spend 10 days aboard the ISS. The tourists will participate in scientific research, including stem cell experiments and exploring how the body ages in space. The civilian crew were launched into space in a SpaceX rocket from the Kennedy Space Center on Friday. The trip was brokered by Axiom Space, which is the U.S.-based startup that coordinates rocket rides and provides necessary training. It's not the first time paying customers have visited the ISS. Russia sold seats on a Soyuz spacecraft last year. But this is the first mission that includes a crew entirely comprised of civilians.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
A new selfie museum in Sweden is flipping the script by making visitors both the artist and the exhibit. The establishment is dubbed the Museum and is in a shopping mall in Stockholm. Unlike other selfie museums, this one has no works of art on its walls. Instead, its brightly decorated rooms are meant to serve as fun backgrounds for visitors to take their selfies or shoot videos in. Other rooms let the visitors bury themselves in candy-colored foam bricks, strike a pose under neon lights, or sit on a huge colorful swing. The manager says the museum is interactive and lets the visitors be the artists themselves in order to create the art they want to see. The Drone Show Korea 2022 has been held at the Busan Exhibition and Convention Center, BEXCO. It featured 137 companies and 533 booths, making this year's incarnation the largest in the show's six-year history. The event also featured the participation of a large international industry representatives from Japan and Western Europe. A highlight of this year's event was military technology centered around the unveiling of new indigenous UAVs. This year's show marked a long-endurance liquid hydrogen drone produced by a South Korean company. These developments reflect South Korea's attempt to improve resilience and revolutionize its approach to warfare. The event puts on display the importance of drone industry in various spheres, including defense purposes. More than 163 wildlife species have been released back into lagoons and forests in Colombia's Casanare province after being seized and rehabilitated by authorities fighting wildlife trafficking. These include 15 different species such as anteaters, turtles, macaws, a toucan, and a leopard. They were nurtured back to health by fauna vets from an environmental authority in charge of managing sustainable development. The authority, Corporinoquia, released more than 1,200 animals back into the wild in 2021 alone. Colombia is one of the world's most biodiverse countries by square kilometer and is home to some 10% of the world's flora and fauna.
A super rare birth has added a cute member to critically endangered Sumatran rhinos of Indonesia. The newborn calf is the sixth born since intensive efforts to breed the species began in the 1980s. The female calf, which doesn't have a name yet, was given birth to by a rhino named Rosa in a sanctuary. Rosa has suffered eight miscarriages since 2005 when she was brought in from the wild for a breeding program. Fewer than 80 Sumatran rhinos remain in the world, mainly on the Indonesian islands of Sumatra and Borneo. Excessive poaching along with other threats has brought the species to the brink of extinction.
With neon lights on the floor and walls, pulsing electronic beats, and a glowing red shuttlecock bouncing back and forth, Malaysian badminton court evokes a sci-fi movie set. Shuttle in the Dark is a badminton hall in the iconic Petronas Twin Towers in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. It was set up in late 2021 by a sport management company to encourage people to take up the racket sport after 2 years of social restrictions because of the COVID-19 pandemic. Director of INEC Sport Management says the initial goal was to draw sports fans and players back into action.
Our initial goal was, how can we encourage and gain back the interest of people to come back and play? And not only those enthusiasts, but then as well the new people who was not able to or never play badminton before. So that's why we come out with this experience called Shuttle in the Dark.
Playing on a futuristic court presents an unusual challenge for athletes as they have to adjust their eyes to the darkness to fly. Badminton is one of the most popular sports in Malaysia and Asia, with a thriving community in the Southeast Asian community. It has produced some of the world's top-ranked players. A zoo in Ireland's capital, Dublin, has unveiled its newest habitat called the Himalayan Hills, a brand new home of the red panda and snow leopard. Visitors are able to see the red panda's habitat by traveling along the new trail around a rocky edge to an open viewing area. The red pandas are typically climbing, exploring, or munching on bamboo at the top of broad-leafed evergreen trees. The expanded habitat was designed with a red panda's tree-dwelling lifestyle in mind. Also, visitors can gaze up at the 15-meter rocky slope through an impressive panoramic viewing area to spot the snow leopards. These elusive felines are typically nocturnal, so catching a glimpse of one is a rare treat.
Yeah, the animals are settling in well. We've tried to recreate the wild habitat in the Himalayan hills. Both species live quite high up. In case of the snow leopards, up to 5,000 meters on these very steep rocky slopes, which you can see here in the habitat as well. We've tried to use the topology of Dublin Zoo.
The project took a few years to complete. It was halted in 2020 due to the COVID-19 pandemic and massive budget shortages, but was restarted after government funding in 2021. The zoo is part of a protection project for red pandas and snow leopards. These animals are listed as vulnerable due to threats from poaching and severe habitat loss. Ancient Pompeii has a new guardian, Spot, a four-legged robot dog that will inspect the ancient Italian city's streets and tunnels to identify structural issues. The robot, designed by the U.S. firm Boston Dynamics, will patrol Pompeii at nighttime. The robot inspects the smallest of spaces and gathers data for planning interventions to fix safety and structural issues. Equipped with a 360-degree camera, Spot will also protect the city's streets from illegal relic hunters who cause structural damage to the ruins by digging tunnels. Pompeii will also have its own eye in the sky, a Leica BLK-2 flying laser scanner capable of autonomously conducting 3D scans of the ruins, helping Spot carry out its tasks. Safeguarding ancient sites from treasure hunters has always been a problem for every country, especially the ancient ones.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Rabbitu billahi rabba wa bil islam dina.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, Salaamu Alaikum. Welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. The topic of this episode is remembering Allah in the month of Ramadan.
الصوم أوشك يبتدي رمضان يا ضيف الورى قد زرتنا في الموعد كنا على جمر الغضا من واله ومفند رمضان يا ضيفا أتى يجلو لنا القلب الصدي.
Today Thursday is the 12th of Ramadan, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 25th of Farvardin, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 14th of April, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We listen to chapter Ar-Rahman, verses 17 to 21.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. رب المشرقين ورب المغربين.
He is Lord of the two sunrises and Lord of the two sunsets.
فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان.
So which of the favors of your Lord would you deny?
مرج البحرين يلتقيان.
He released the two seas, meeting side by side.
بَيْنَهُمَا بَرْزَخٌ لَا يَبْغِيَانِ.
Between them is a barrier, so neither of them transgresses.
فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ.
So which of the favors of your Lord would you deny?
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Quranic exegetes disagree as to the location of the two sweet and salty seas and the fact that one does not prevail the other and the nature of the barrier separating the twain. However, mentioned was already made of the point in the exegesis of chapter 25, saying that great sweet rivers flowing into seas and oceans usually form a sea of sweet water besides the coast, thus repelling the brine, and it would be of interest to know that sweet and salty water, owing to the difference in the degrees of thickness, do not intermingle. We are in the month of Ramadan, and this question is here. What is the importance of dhikr? That means the remembrance of Allah. Dhikr is truly one of the easiest acts of worship that simultaneously has instrumentable amount of rewards and benefits in this world and the next. It is the remembrance of Allah the Almighty. Life is distracting. It distracts us from remembering the greater meaning and remembering our Creator, the source of our life. So dhikr reflects a constant connection and loving bond with Allah. Dhikr is also a means of seeking forgiveness from Allah and being purified of our sins. In the hadith, the Prophet said, "Should I not inform you of the best of your deed and the purest of them with your master and the highest of them in your ranks? And what is better for you than spending gold and silver, and better for you than meeting your enemy and their strike your necks?" They said, "Of course." He said, "The remembrance of Allah."
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bi nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and pronouncing His divine names in the month of Ramadan. In the beginning, it must be indicated that when we consider something or an event, we are more subject to pronouncing its, keywords or, for example, the terms. This is a natural tendency, not in the lives of those people who are religious, rather, in the lives of everybody who may be concerned with any special activity. In this connection, the basis is on mentioning the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or various designations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala indicated to the Prophet Moses and his brother Aaron, Harun in Arabic, "Wala tanaya fi dhikri." You too shouldn't fall short of remembering me. It indicates that this act of remembering the names and designations and traits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the merciful traits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are regarded as ways of mentioning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, in this regard, it's indicated in the Holy Quran, "Wadhkur rabbaka fi nafsika tadarru'an wa khufya." You have to mention your Lord, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in your own mind with humbleness and quite secretly. It means that everybody is expected not to spend even a moment without considering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, it's indicated in the Holy Quran, "فَإِذَا رَكَبُوا فِي الْفُلْكِ دَعَوُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ فَلَمَّا نَجَّاهُمْ إِلَى الْبَرِّ إِذَا هُمْ يُشْرِكُونَ." When people get on ship, and when this ship comes across some dangers in the sea, people come to think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they come to mention the names and designations and the divine mercy. However, when they get to shore, they forget the names and designations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It means that everybody in time of danger comes to think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the ultimate rescue and the ultimate saver and savior. We find that in this connection, we find that in the month of Ramadan, everybody is expected to be more concerned with mentioning the names and designations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is because the month of Ramadan is the month of paying more attention to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It doesn't mean that in other months throughout the year, people are permitted not to be mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rather, it means that in the month of Ramadan, more attention is expected to be given to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Ramadan, ya Ramadan, يا نفحة الرحمن رمضان يا رمضان شهر جود وغفران رمضان يا رمضان يا نفحة الرحمن رمضان يا رمضان
Come here to practical tips. Practical tips for what? For dhikr. You may purchase or download a booklet of dhikr. Recite from it whenever free throughout the day. In a week or so, you'll find that you'll already memorize those dhikr and can recite them on your own freely throughout the day. The second tip is, in Ramadan, make sure to start the habit of reciting the morning and evening dhikr. Again, the morning and evening dhikr. The reward is enormous in protecting the person, providing peace and tranquility, and keeping one connected with Allah the Almighty. Ramadan and remembrance. Remembrance of Allah. At its core, Ramadan, this great month, lie important, theologically believes about redemption and hope that revolve around the idea of dhikr, or the remembrance of Allah. The month of Ramadan is about remembering Allah through a disciplining of the body, mind, and the heart that asks Muslim to reflect on the less fortunate, the poor, the hungry. These thoughts cross one's mind naturally. When one is hungry, one thinks of the poor and starving. During the month of Ramadan, Muslims typically abstain from food, water, bad speech, and malicious behavior. Ramadan is a time of the year during which the forgetfulness that builds up in one's heart is remedied through prayer and bodily and spiritual fasting, all of which are practices directed toward remembrance. This month is one in which religious contemplation retrain the heart and the body for the coming month, establishing a circle that is restorative and deeply spiritual.
The month of Ramadan is a month of ibadah, is a month of worship. What comes to our mind when we say ibadah? What comes to our mind is praying and fasting and tahajjud in the middle of the night. That's not the only way of ibadah, my dear brothers and sisters. Ibadah means calling your mother and seeing how she's doing. Ibadah means calling your family, going and being at the service of your parents, being at the service of your relatives. This is ibadah in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is in fact a greater type of ibadah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Don't worship anyone other than Allah and show kindness towards your parents. This is ibadah. This is ibadah. During the month of Ramadan, go and check up on your family members. وَصِلُوا فِيهِ أَرْحَامَكُمْ مَنْ وَصَلَ فِيهِ رَحِمَهُ وَصَلَهُ اللَّهُ بِرَحْمَتِهِ يَوْمَ يَلْقَاهُ. Anyone who is connected with their family during the month of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will connect that person with His mercy on the Day of Judgment. Go and call people, your relatives, especially in the month of Ramadan. This is the time that we have to be connected.
Dear brothers and sisters, that was all for today's special. Thank you very much for joining us. Keep and remember us too in your prayers and worshiping. Thank you very much and fi amanillah.
جسد القرآن ظمآن ظمآن لوصالك يا رمضان للتوبة والغفران ومجالسة القرآن نور في الأفق يلوح باب الجنة مفتوح لا يروي عطش الروح إلا باب الريان نور في الأفق يلوح باب الجنة مفتوح لا يروي عطش الروح إلا باب الريان ظمآن ظمآن لوصالك يا رمضان للتوبة والغفران ومجالسة القرآن
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.